Aleluya. What an awesome promise God has made to us. As I shift slightly and I leave from expediency, because God sees fit through His Son Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And I want to go into the power of prayer. You know, I almost tell Sister Jolene, continue the message, you know. Because somebody prayed. Because somebody prayed, church. You and I are here because somebody prayed. As Christians, our dilemma are many. But we got the key. And the key is prayer. We got the equipment. And it is prayer. I don't know who prayed me in, but I know somebody prayed. Could have been my mama. Could have been my great grandmother. But somebody prayed me in. And most of all, we have a high priest that at this very moment is interceding on our behalf. That's awesome right there, church. And that's why he said it was expedient also. Because that expediency that Jesus had to have done to go to his Father was not only just to send the Spirit. That was a part of it, true. Because that's what he said. The Spirit will not come, but if I go, the Spirit will come, and it will comfort you, and it will help you. But also, the Word of God says that he is sitting on the right hand of his Father, interceding on your behalf and my behalf. As I go through this series of messages that I will be preaching concerning prayer, I think that's one of our key elements to our Christian walk that so many of us, and I hope it's not here, I could say to us because I'm talking broadly, that we are not missing out in our prayer. And as I teach and I preach on the power of prayer, I wish that this is going to make it more available and give you a wider spectrum of your weapon. You know, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. You know, principality and darkness in high places, you know, they're not been shaken just by saying flee or go. And you think they're going to go. We need to use that which Jesus has already given to us. I'm going to give you a little task, a little homework. And that's going to be John chapter 17. Don't go there for me because I don't want you to be distracted. That's going to be your homework. You read John. So that when I come back next week, by the grace of God, might not be next week because we know next week is the first Sunday and we know that Pastor Gentle is going to be here. But continuing into the messages, that you're going to have something to open yourself more. What is yours? You know, if you at home, I'm going to just draw a quick illustration before I go into the message. If you at home and your mom and your dad, I'm saying mom and dad, hopefully, you know, it might not feel different to you because perhaps maybe you don't have mom and dad, but that is irrelevant right now. when you think about God, you always have a father and you always have a mother. Why? Because he says to the motherless, I'll be your mom. And he said to the fatherless, I'll be your father, which he is our father. Amen? But in the house that you pertains to, or you belongs to, that refrigerator and whatever is in there is available to you, right? Mom might say, just use it. You know how to use it? Use it. Don't abuse it. And church, it's so significant to us that God has a cattle and 1,000 hills. And you know why many of us don't use it? And maybe some of us don't know how to kill the cattle. Maybe some of us don't know how to clean it. And maybe some of us don't know how to sell it. This is just a physical terms. I'm trying to bring it down. I'm trying to break it down, church, like into one sense. I know we could use our finger, right? We say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we get to 10. How many kids you know when they get to 10, they stop? Because there's no more finger, right? You know, symbolically, so many of us as God children, when we get to 10 in the spirit realm, we stop. Now, I hope you're not there. I hope you already passed that point. Because as much teaching myself and Pastor Pascasio do in this church, if you have not passed 10, keep coming to Bible study. Amen? God, that doesn't mean that that is not good. No, it just means that you have more to grow and more to have and more to get and more to do in the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our heart, God. As your word go forth, Father, I pray that it drops on good soil, Lord, that it will germinate, Lord. Then we'll see the stalk, the blade, and then, Father God, we'll see the fruit and we'll have a harvest, God. Your word says to us that thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, God. Your word says that we must pray, send laborers out there, God. So we pray, Father God, that we will be that laborer that you have called us. For your word says that we are workmanship, rightly dividing your word of truth, God. So as we study your word, God, and as we go into it, Lord, help us to understand it and to see crystal clear, God, that we could apprehend that which you have already given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In your precious and wonderful and majestic name, I'm believing and receiving your promises for the body of Christ. And all of God's children say, amen and amen. Now, I could go into prayer and I could teach and I could preach and a lot of scriptures that I have. But I first want to take you to the Lord's Prayer. Amen? And we have already read that in Matthew 6:5-15. Amen? But I want to go to Luke. And I want to show you how the truth is established. Because many times, we don't understand how the truth is established. But this truth is established just exactly according to how the Lord had spoken it. He says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth has been established. And that's why, basically, how it says, I can't show you in the Bible, but I think exactly that's why God had 12 apostles. Because he know that sometimes it's very easy for you to hear it from one person and believe it. But sometimes you can make no sense out of you hear it from one person and believe it. I hope you're not in here, or I hope this is not you. But how many times have we heard something and we still haven't grasped it yet? Think about it, church. And if it was supposed to be grasped Or you already grasped it. Yes, thank you, Jesus. How long did it took you? You know, the things of God that pertains to him and his ministry, you know, the quicker we grasp it, the better off we gonna be. That's okay. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 11. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, I'm grateful to Sister Mad and all of you guys. But literally, Sister Mad says, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And I know you guys are too. But she literally tells me that. It's almost every time I see Sister Mad, she says, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And prayer I do need. Just like you. And you know, brothers and sisters, I pray for you guys. I pray. Sometimes I literally call you out by name. When the Spirit bring your name into my spirit, I literally call you by name. And when I don't call you by name, I just cover the whole church by praying for the body of Christ. Amen? Because if you are a born again believer, you are a part of the body of Christ. And when you finish read John 17, you will see that Jesus there is, was, and will continue to be praying for us. Amen? Chapter 11 of Luke says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples says unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. As we looked at that, we understand that we as human beings, we learn by seeing things done. Amen? Now, if you are not going to learn by seeing things done, maybe you just don't want to learn. But if you watch these disciples here in this scripture, they have saw John the Baptist teach his disciples. So, obviously, John must have been doing something good. So his disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Amen? So we know the power of prayer. As we continue, we're going to see it happen. Verse 2 said, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, our prayers to be effective have to get the right address. How often have you got a mail came back to the same address? You know why? Because it was improperly mailed. It didn't have the right address. So the mail will come back, right? Or it won't reach its destination. Amen? So likewise, if we're going to have a communication and we want to get answer, it has to get the right address. Hallelujah. Because if it's addressed to the wrong entity, then it's going to the wrong place. Hallelujah. I want you to follow me carefully, church, because as I go through this teaching, your Christian life will change completely, because now you will have an understanding how things happen in the spirit realm, likewise still doing the things in your physical life. I'd have liked Jolene continue this message. For one reason is that she was a living example. Because even though she was living this spirit, this physical life, and she was out there physically, there was spiritual thing happening within her. That's why Pastor also teach and I on Romans 12, where he say, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. See, when you understand who you are, where you at, have to accommodate who you are. Because if it does not accommodate who you are, you're not going to feel welcome. You're not going to feel happy. You will be agitated because where the Spirit lives in you. And the Spirit got to be where spirit things are bound and bind together. Amen? So we got to watch this, that even in our prayer, and she was faithful enough to say, and she understand the spirit realm because she knew that it was not her that was intentionally doing this. She understood that it was somebody that prayed. See, many times when we get a check, and I'm going to go physical because I thank you, Lord. I just love how the Spirit revealed things to me to bring it to the body of Christ. When you get your check, you know who get the glory? You get the glory because you have that nice check and you go and change it and you get everything you think you deserve. Hallelujah. Isn't that the truth? But you know something, why? You deserve it. You deserve it because you already put in either 20, 30, 40, or 50, or whatever hours you put in. Amen? Amen? But it is completely different than God the Father when you understand what he have done for you. And this is where many of us are not getting our answer from God because we still think we are doing it. And we are not doing it. You know who is doing it? Even right now, how many of us think that, I wake up and I got up and I got dressed and I took my bath and I did this and I did that and I put everything on and I'm looking so beautiful, but not one yet I have heard you said praise God nor thank God. But you was all about you, right? But you know who get that praise and who get that glory? God. Because God is the one who give you that strength. God is the very one who woke you up this morning. I believe that because you understand where I'm going as I continue. Hallelujah. I'm going to read, can start all over from verse 2 as I tie in a little bit of it more. He says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Number one, you want to go to your Father which is in heaven because you know the destination. It is very important that if you want something, you know where to get it and how to get it. You know where our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know where you're going to go to get what you need. And you know who to go to. You know, it's very important if you want gas for that car to go to the gas station, right? You can't go to the market because you ain't getting no gas at the market. You're going to get food at the market. I'm just drawing a little illustration, church, so that you could understand how prayer works. And then when you go to the right place, you have to get the right source. Because the right source is a very important thing to get if you're going to go to the next point. He said, hallowed be thy name. In other words, because you want him to move in accordance to your need, you have to understand that he is able to do it. You know, many times as us, as young men and young women or boy and girl, where you think we go to our father and say, "Father, I want ice cream. Mommy, I want ice cream." Why you think you do that? And I'm going down to like almost the least things, right? You know why you do that? Because you know your mommy could give it to you. Then you might not want that. You might go, "Lehi, mommy, I want Nike. Or I want Reebok. Or I want Legia. Or I want blah, blah, blah." You know why you go to them? Because you know they are able to do it. See, unless you're going to go to your father and know that he's able to do it, that's why we don't get answer, because we're not sure of what we do. We pray because everybody says, "Okay, let's pray." But do you have the prerequisite to get the answer? Even though it's such a powerful source, but it has to be done. Remember how many times I told you guys, God is not a wrong sitting says, "Let's make a deal." He's saying, "This is the deal." And if you know how to make the deal, and if you know what to do, it's easy to get what belongs to you. Let me continue so I'll open it, leave it more for you. He said, "That will be done in heaven, so in earth." Remember that message I preached a while ago when I tell you, we all say, "God, let your will be done." But if God's will should be done, you know what happened to my will? My will have to go. But no, we want God's will tie into for we will, and we think it's going to work. And we want to pray and tell God what all we need and how much we need it and everything else. But this prayer is telling me that if God's will be done, then I have to pray one prayer concerning the will and the purpose of God. So my will got to go. That no more me, I, and myself, or myself and I, or me, myself and I, whatever the saying says. It's not going to be that no more. If you're going to pray a legitimate prayer before God, you already have some source, and I'm going to give you more. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. He says in verse 3, he said, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And this ties in with culture. I'm going to break quickly into it, and I'm not going to stay there, but you need to understand it as I'm breaking it down. Day by day. Many of us, we thank God, but we don't thank God day by day for our daily bread. Because some of us already was on the job or been on the job for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But in the culture of this time, where Jesus actually spoke these words and walked the earth, people work day by day. They may only have work for today. They may only have work for tomorrow. But it is a daily source that Jesus was teaching even in that time, that it is a day by day. You know, even though we know we have a job to go tomorrow, but you know life promised to no man. Amen? But so that's the culture here, and that's why this has been spoken by the Lord Jesus, that he was teaching his disciples. He said, "Give us this day by day our daily bread." He said, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." That's a very, very important role for us to get our prayers answered. How many says, "I forget"? Yeah, I forgive you, but I don't forget. Then that's not forgiveness, church. That's not forgiveness. You want your prayer answered, and you know you've been wronged, or you know they have wronged you, ask for forgiveness so that you could get forgiveness. Let me read it so you're going to see it. Hallelujah. He says, and forgive us our trespasses, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, brothers and sisters, when you do not have a forgiving spirit, it is easy for you to be tempted. I want that settled good in your spirit. Because you do not have a forgiving spirit, it is easier for you to be tempted. But when you have a forgiving spirit, it is harder for you to be tempted, because the enemy understands that you understand. I understand that the easiest way to stay in fellowship with God is to forgive my brother and my sister, so God, which is in heaven, could forgive me. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall give a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lay me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. If you study these scriptures, this is an example Jesus here is setting for us. And he's saying, you have a need you don't have, you go to your brother, and your brother is saying, no, he don't have. But let's continue, amen? I'm just paraphrasing what I read here just now. Verse 8 says, and said unto you, though he will not raise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of the importunity, he will raise and give him as many as he needed. I know you have a different translation, but I don't know what your translation says. But that word is there saying and meaning and signifying persistent. You know why many of us don't really get what we really deserve to get? It's because we go, and for some reason the enemy make it look difficult. You know what happened? We turn right or wrong and left for a blessing. How many times that has happened to you? You think it haven't happened to me too? I'm not only preaching to you. What the word of God is saying here is you got to be persistent, church. See, it's just like you coming to church. You know how many things come before you in the morning until you almost literally get into the door, and you still got Satan is saying, when you going to church? It's just regular routine anyway. You know that's why many of us don't come to church? Because Satan blind the love that we have for God. It's not that you don't love God, you know, church. But the enemy says, in James, he says, the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's not the lion. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your devourer, that no mean he eat you up or na carnival. It means that he's going to put things in your path that going to derail you from the things you need to do that is more important to you than anything else in this world. But you know what happened? He derailed you. He changed your perspective. He make you see things different. But when you have already decided in your mind that you will serve God, nothing can stop you. I got to show it to you as I continue. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You see here, right? that the person did not stop. He keep on and he keep on. And you know what happened? The guy came up and you know what he gave him? He gave him more than he need. Very symbolic to God. God is saying, can I hear for you this morning? Can I hear from you at noon? Can I hear from you at night? Can I hear from you? Can I know? Can I trust you that you are my son and you are my daughter? Are you believing in me? Are you trusting in me? Or you just want this so that you could feed the flesh? Let me leave that alone. Verse 9 says, and I say unto you, ask. These are some of your answers right here, church. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said, for everyone that asks, receive it, and he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And he goes back, Jesus teaching again still. If you got the red letter edition, you will see that it's the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus went down now and he's breaking it down to the earthly realm. Amen. He said, if any son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. No. So why are we not having what is legitimately ours? Because we, let me read the rest so you could see. I'm not just going to tell you, amen. He said, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now, he didn't say ask for money, and he didn't say ask for raiment, and he didn't say ask for material things, and he didn't say ask for a lot of things. You heard the word he used? He says, for them that ask of the Spirit. You know, it reminds me of a great man of God, Solomon. You know, God went before Solomon and God said to Solomon, ask me. You know, God is saying the same thing to you right now. And you know what Solomon asked for? Solomon asked that God may give him wisdom to teach and to show his people who God was. And you know Solomon was one of the richest men on this earth. Because while asking for the right thing, God puts in everything. Hallelujah. Have you have a desire to ask God for the right thing? How much of us are anxious? We live a very anxious life. We worry about Tom. We worry about Dick. We worry about the cow. We worry about the puppy. We worry about the horse. We worry about everything. Why? But then you should be renewed. The word of God says that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away and everything becomes brand new. I just said Romans 12, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present your body. When you are worried, you are not presenting your body to Christ. When you are being worried, you are not changing your mind and renew your mind. You have that still old mind. Let's go to Philippians. Let me show you. Philippians 4. You there with me? Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to break something in here, and I'm not going to keep you too long more because I want this to settle with you. And as I got a whole lot of scripture here. You know, I got fear. I got strengthening of your soul. I got guidance and satisfaction. Oh, hallelujah. But we're going to have time, amen? I don't want to give you too much, but I want you to get this one because anxiety is something that is straight from the pit of hell. You know, anxiety brings fear. Remember I told you already what the meaning of fear is? Fear is false evidence appearing real. Amen? Watch what he says here, church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, he says, be careful for nothing. In other words, he's saying, be anxious for nothing. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So that is telling me literally that when you're worrying, you have not took it to God. When you're anxious, you have not took it to God. You have taking it literally into your own hands and says, where I need to go? I need to go here. I need to go there. What I need to do? I need to do this. I need to do that. Who I need to contact? I need to contact Tom, Dick, Harry. And that's what happened. Fear steps in. So you start to do everything besides what you need to do. What you need to do is what the scripture is telling you. I'm going to read it again. He said, be careful, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, you see, he didn't say some things. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God. See, this is not man peace. Watch it good what he says. He says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 6 and verse 7 tell us how to obtain peace. It's just like many of us, we know how to work and we know how to make money. But do you know how to keep that money? You must say, Pastor, how craziness could come out of your mouth. Many of us know how to work for money, right? But how many of us know how to keep that money? It's basically very, very close and it ties in. Many of us know, as we read a scripture, that we could have God's peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But how many of us know how to keep it? Let's read verse 8 and verse 9. This is the spirit realm, church. You have to seek the spirit realm. Amen? But still in the spirit realm, we have our physical behavior. And if you don't behave as the things that as God has called us to behave, then you're not going to get the right results. Watch what verse 8 says. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You must wonder why I stop. I stop because that's the key right there. I'm going to read it again and I'm going to stop at do because this is what Paul is explaining to the Philippians here. He said, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. See, verse 6 and verse 7 tells us how to obtain peace. Verse 8 and verse 9 tell us how to keep it. He said, in order to keep God peace, this is for you, church, this is for me. In order to keep God peace, the reader of the word of God must occupy their minds with the right thing. That's deep right there. Because you know something? Everything else occupies our mind except the things that pertains to the kingdom of God. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe you are not like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's the way how you keep God's peace. Because now your mind is not occupied with the little things of this earth, with the minor things of this earth, with the insignificant things of this earth, with the things that will all burn, with the things that you have no control of. That's one. Let me give you the second one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The next thing we must do as God's children is we must get busy with the right activities. That's a mouthful right there, church. How many times have you done things and when you finish do them and everything, you say, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why me did that. You know why? Because you wasn't busy with the right activity. It's simple, church. It sounds like a joke, and it could be jokey. But it is truth. Pastor is telling you the truth. I'm serious, dead serious. How much time have you done things and you were so sorry you even did it? You know why? Because it was the wrong thing you did. So we got to be very careful. We got to be very careful, church. What we think on. Watch this, because I'm closing now. We got to be very careful what we think on. Because most likely, if you're thinking on it, you're going to do it. Yes or no? Amen? Most likely that if you're thinking on it, you will do it. So if you want to do the right thing, get your mind occupied with the right thing. And once your mind is occupied with the right thing, you're going to do the right activities. I'm going to close. Hallelujah. Give him praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, saints, for your undivided attention. Prayer is that avenue by which, or it is a vehicle by which we communicate with our Creator. You know, you want to get to point A to point B. You don't get in your car and start it up. And maybe, you know, I don't know if you have a plane, but if you have a plane, let me know soon. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. I like that because somebody has faith. Now, you know, I'm going to continue teaching prayer, and the next part of it is going to be the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Because, you know, many of us, we pray, but there's no faith behind it. And we ask God, God, why am I not getting my answer? I'm going to leave that alone because I could be stirred right up again and go right into the message again and preach more than what I haven't. Because, you know, when you study the Word of God, there's so much meat, there's so much food in the Word of God that you literally cannot. You cannot expound on all of it. Amen? So I thank you for coming. Let's keep Pastor in prayer. Pastor said he had a little family things he had to go and do. You know, keep him and his family in prayer. You know, you know, as I continue in prayer, bring your notebook. Bring something that you could have notes because I'll give you so much scriptures. And when trouble comes, you need to know which scripture to deal on. Like he just said there, finally, brethren. He said, finally. Think. How many of us, as something happened, we stopped to think good? We start to think bad. And you understand. You go to the scripture. If you want it, I got it. I could give it to you. Whatever you want while I'm doing this teaching, if you need some scriptures or if you have a question after the service, I'll be more than happy. I'll be more than delighted to explain or to share with you. Amen? But if you get this topic, if you get the power of prayer, you will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will flourish. Your leaves will be green. You will have fruit in due season. And you will have a word for the last and dying world. Amen? I never like to close without giving an invitation. You know, you might be struggling in some way, shape, or form in your life. But Jesus said he came to give us rest. And that rest not only mean physical rest. The greatest rest Jesus has already accomplished to us is in the spirit realm. The enemy does a fine job in agitating our spirit and making us think that we are inferior or we are minor or we are... No, the word says that he have given us not of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Is there anyone that need prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call on Sister Jolene to come and close us out in prayer. If nobody need prayer, then I guess we are doing good. And I could say amen to that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But as we get ready to close and as we keep our brothers and sisters in prayer, remember, prayer does not change something. Prayer change everything. You know what the word push spells? P-U-S-H. You know what that means? I mean prayer until something happens. Because it will happen. Amen?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord God, for receiving the meat of your word today, Lord God. We praise you and we bless you, Lord God, for coming and dwelling with us, for being amongst us, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come before you to serve you. Father God, we thank you for just this wonderful service, Lord God. We continue to keep our pastor and his wife and his family in prayer, Lord God, and we look forward to seeing them next week. Lord God, I pray and ask that whoever came through this door today, Lord God, with whatever they came through this door with, yes, Lord God, that they received from you, Lord, yes, and that they can go into the world and be the light that you've called them to be, Lord God. We just thank you for this service, Lord God, and we pray that you continue to come in and dwell with us, yes, as we continue to come in and serve you and look forward to you, Lord God. Just thank you for everyone here, Lord God. Pray that we go out and there is safety that follows us, Lord God. Dispatch your angels to go before us, Lord God, to pave that path of gold for us, Lord God. Take away all the infirmities, Lord God. We praise you for a week of prosperity, a week of love, a week of peace, a week of joy. Lord God, we speak blessings over the people in this church today, Lord God, that they can take all that they have received from you today, Lord God, and reciprocate that love that they received today, Lord God. So we thank you, God. We just give you all praise. We give you all honor, and we give you all glory for today's service, Lord God, and for just being our Abba Father. We praise you. We lift you up. We magnify your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. May we all go with God and go in peace. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.